It's good to be with you guys today. Isn't God good? That's about three of you. The rest of you, you're not very exciting to speak to. No, not really. I want to give you permission. It is okay to smile today for some of you. It's okay to laugh. It is not okay to throw anything. Is that cool? It's not. You got that, sir? Okay. It's not okay to do that. It is let's see what God wants to do. Sometimes you have to give him permission to interrupt your life. And as we give him permission to interrupt our lives, it's amazing what will happen. So let's do that for a minute. Would you stand with me for a second? I'm going to pray and just give God permission to move in our lives. Is that okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you already know us, that you have the best intentions towards us. And God, I just want to apologize that though you have great intentions and plans for me, I seem to muck it up. But I ask today that in the next few minutes that you would surprise us, that you would move in our lives, that you would stir us, that you would awake us, that you would speak to us, because truly, we want to hear from the God of the universe. God, would you make your will, your way known to us today, that we could serve your purpose? God, would you transform us in ways that we just never expected? And God, we give you permission this morning to surprise us. To just absolutely blow our socks off, to surprise us in ways that we could never ask, think, or imagine. And we give you glory for it in your name. And everybody said, would you take just a second and say hi to somebody sitting next to you, okay? Because you know you want to. Just say hi to them, okay? And if you're a talker and you talk a lot, keep it short. All right. You got about 30 seconds. It's kind of funny. Just you guys are a talkative crowd when you let you go. You're just kind of talkative. And then I even saw somebody in the crowd flossing, you know, doing that. I'm not even tempted. Oh, my Lanta. Yeah, no. It's, kind of weird. So you can be seated if you'd like. If you got your Bibles, take them out and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5. If you take the Bible and it's a paper one, you know, where you got, it's a real book, you take it, hold it like this, flip it open to the middle, move a little bit to your right, and look for the names Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the dudes that are hanging out together. It's right in that spot. If you got a paper Bible, you want to use your concordance, feel free to, you know, the table of content, feel free to use that to find Matthew. But Matthew chapter 5, kind of cool because we got electronic Bibles now, so you can pull it up on your smartphone and do all that. I tell people all the time, if you didn't bring your Bible here, share with someone. So if you look around and if you didn't bring your phone to pull up your Bible app, then look for someone who's got one and share with them. And then I tell people, if they don't share with you, just take their phone. You can have it, okay? Because they shouldn't have it anyway if they're going to be selfish and not share. So just take it. And he's got a new iPhone, and he's got a seat right there. If you want to sit by him, maybe he won't share his phone. So you just take it. Got it. But no, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And as we dive into this, really what I want to share is more of just my life. I want to talk to you about some things that go on in my life. And hopefully that will relate God to you. Some of you might think afterwards, that guy's kind of freaky, never want to be like him. Now we know what not to be like. But I do know this, as I share, God has never expected you to be me or me to be you. God has this way of shaping and moving within our lives in ways that meet us. In fact, the God that we serve and the God of the universe that we serve wants and desires to give us the desires of our heart. God doesn't want to move within your life in a way that you don't even want him to. God has shaped you in a certain way that he wants to move in your desires. Somebody asked me, said, well, how's your wife doing? I said, she's doing, what's she doing? I said, she's out being a hag right now. They looked at me like panic, like you just said your wife's a hag. She is. My wife is literally a hag, right? She's in a play called Sweeney Todd. She plays the beggar woman. She's a hag. That's what she does right now. And that's what she's doing. She comes home. She got all this makeup on, this latex on, and she looks like a shriveled up 90-year-old prune who's about ready to meet death, who smokes like a sieve forever and a decade. You know? And then when she walks into the room at night, I'm kind of like, please don't look at me. No, go take a shower. But currently, that's what she's doing. She plays in plays. Now, my wife, as a little girl, was hauled to all places to act, and her mom took her everywhere to learn how to act and be in acting. And through high school, she landed the lead in every play. Into college, landed the lead in every play. And then she got called into ministry, and she began to do ministry. And because she can sing and because she can do that, she began to soar. And God used her in just amazing ways in leading worship and singing and doing things. She was offered record contracts for Word, Sparrow, Myrrh, through Calvary Chapel with Roby Duke and all these other people. It's just amazing. She's led worship in front of Jesus Northwest with 45,000 people. Every about 3 months to 5 months, she'll fly out and go lead worship for Loose Plow with 90,000 people. It's amazing the doors that God has opened, speaking at women's conferences and all kinds of things. It's amazing the doors that God has opened for my wife. But even though God has opened those doors and he's used her in the church kind of realm around leading people in congregations and doing that, even though God has done that, she still wasn't fulfilling the desire of her heart. After our kids got grown and moved out, we sit and stared at each other. I said, what do you want to do? And she goes, I don't know. I said, why don't you do theater again? She said, I can't do theater. I'm a pastor's wife. I'm a person in ministry. I have to be at church all the time. I have to do this. I have to do that. This is what people expect. This is how they expect. I said, who cares? What is God calling you to do? What do you like to do? What do you want to do? How do you want God to use you? Let's make the next 20 years of our life effective in ways that we could have never imagined. Let's wait before God. Let's see what he wants to do. And she looks at me and goes, I'd really like to do theater again. I said, what's keeping you from it? Well, they have matinees today. She's not here with me because she's in a matinee at the Grand Theater doing a professional play, playing a beggar woman, a hag at all things. And I'll tell you, she does a good job. It comes naturally. No, it does not. Oh, Lord. Hey, we're not live, are we? We're live. It sucks to be me. Hopefully she won't watch this. Are you? You better not be videotaping. That's my daughter-in-law. Do not show that to my wife, okay? Do not. So, okay, so she's doing theater, okay? Now listen, she's not at church today. She wasn't at Wednesday night church. She's not at a ladies' Bible study right now. She's doing three plays almost at once. She's finishing this one. While she was starting this one, she was playing in another one, and she was memorizing this one and another one. Finished Annie, Get Your Gun. Now she's in Sweeney Todd, and she's memorizing two more for the next two. At the same time she's doing this, partway in 2 weeks, all of a sudden as this one's coming to an end, she will be doing rehearsals for the other one. For the next month, I will only see my wife at short little intervals. At the same time, in our own local church that we attend, she doesn't get to lead worship because she's never there. She didn't get to lead worship for ladies' Bible studies when she can be there because she's never there. It has limited her role, and as a result of it, some of our Christian friends wonder if she's still saved. How could you go do theater and be in such a dark spot in a dark place and do that? Well, because you know what? God's called each of us to be salt and light, and if we don't invade the dark places, then you know what? People are never going to know. Amen. And so you know what? God has given her the desire of her heart. She is beginning to fulfill a desire that she's had for ages. And it's amazing to watch her begin to minister to people, hang out with people, love on people who would never step foot in church. And she doesn't get to use her church language. Oh, man, God bless you. I'll see you later. Bless you. God's God. I'll just pray for you. Let's just believe God. One of the ladies got terribly hurt the other day, and she goes, I wanted to go lay hands on her and pray with her, but I knew it would absolutely freak her out where she's at right now. So all I could do was, under my breath, just pray the presence of God over her. Later that night, as we're getting ready to wrap up something that was going on, the lady came to her and said, hey, Tracy, I need to know about this and this and this. You're one of those Christians. You've got that God thing. I need to know more about it. She's having to learn a different way of operating around people so that she doesn't scare and alienate them, and they don't think she's this weird wacko person, but they see Jesus in her. Does it make sense at all? So here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that as we get done here today, you begin to ask yourself, what are the desires of my heart, and how can God use me in those areas? Because I will tell you, I am never going to do a play. Never. Okay, God, if you ask me to, I will. Not really. I'm never going to do a play. I mean, never. Just, it's not going to happen. I just can't. I don't got it. I can't do it. It freaks me out. I want to wet myself. And then all the stuff you got to memorize and the way you have to act. And get a life. I'm too self-conscious. I always think my fly's down. No way. Ain't doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not called there. But you know what? She is. She is. You work jobs. You go places. You have kids. You join clubs. You do things in your life where Pastor Anthony, where I, and where others will never get to go, and you get to go use the desires of your heart and be an influence for the kingdom wherever you go. You get to do that. So along the way, how can God take your desires and shape them and use you to where it just flows naturally and it's an outflow of who you are? Because God isn't a weird God who wants to take you and make you do something you don't want. He wants to use you with the desire. I read a book by the guy from Wild at Heart. It's called Desire. And in that book, he talks about how he went fly fishing, and he loves to fly fish, just loves it. I could care less about fly fishing. I'd rather go to the store and buy it because you got to pick it up and then you smell like a fish and you got to handle a worm and that just kind of... But I could shoot a deer any day if I could focus. But yeah, I'm not fishing. So he loves to fly fish and he's out fishing away. He drove 2 hours to get there, and as he drove 2 hours to get there, all of a sudden, he gets there. He's in his waders, which I know would be a lot of work, getting those waders on, getting your fly pole, getting your in your cast, in your whatever they do. You're doing it. At least my form looks good. I don't know how they do it. Forget it. So if you know about that, be quiet, okay? But he's fly fishing. As he's fly fishing, it's like God says to him, get out and come sit with me on the bank. And he stops and says, God, are you crazy? I just drove 2 hours here. You had all that time to talk to me. I'm in the water now fishing, and you want to talk to me? No, get yourself a life. And all of a sudden, he realized that fishing became more important than God. And he got out of the water, and he went and sat on the bank, and he spent some time with God and met God. And he said it was one of the most powerful experiences that he ever had in his life. And what God showed him and revealed to him that day was that God wanted to give him the fishing desires and the desires of his life. He just didn't want it to become more important than him. So as a Christian, can I help you not feel guilty about doing things you like to do? don't feel guilty about doing things you like to do. Just don't leave God out of them. Flourish in the things that you like to do, the desires that you have, because that's a natural thing God's given you. That's where my wife is right now. She's flourishing in the area of theater in a way that she's reaching people that would never be reached. Funny thing is, we can't post it on Facebook. Because it's like being a missionary, going someplace where it's dark. Now you're impacting their lives, and then you're going to go post on Facebook? Hey, it's unlike church. It was packed at church today. God moved. 35 people came forward. 14 got filled with the Holy Spirit, and 9 people got raised from the dead. Well, they showed up. You know? Hey, you can post that on Facebook. But to post on Facebook, hey, just talk to a lady who's been with 14 different men in all kinds of debauchery relationships, and today she gave her life to Jesus, and then she opens up Facebook and sees that? That don't work real well. So she's kind of like this undercover, go serve God, but you don't get to talk about it very much. Does that make sense? But I'm saying all that to say this. God wants to use you where you're at, and he wants to use you with the desires of your heart, and he doesn't want to make it hard. He wants to make it real simple, and he just wants you to flourish in him. So with that in mind, let's look at this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And I'm going to go quick, and that's only to give you hope, okay? Because I'm going to go quick, but I'm still going to be long. Not really. Matthew 5:14. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket." That'd be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? Turn the light on and cover it up. "But on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." What he's basically saying here is you're called to be salty, shiny, and motivated. You're called to be this person who's lit up and then not hidden by a basket, but you are the light and it gives light to everybody around you. The light of Jesus is supposed to shine from us 24/7. That's what he's saying. But I like how he says it in the Message Bible. The Message Bible is even more colorful the way he says it. Listen to it this way. He says, "Let me tell you why you're here." I love this part. And I think I love this part because I'm kind of a foodie. I'm a foodie snob, okay? I just don't like something out of a box. I like good food. I even like good food to the point of going to restaurants where they give you a lot of food, but I even like really going to the restaurants where they give you hardly any food on a plate and they charge you an arm and a leg and it's got this flavor that you just go, "Oh, that's so good." I like that. I like food. So I like this scripture because it says you are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. I will tell you something. Going to Jack in the Box, this is going to be news to some of you. Going to Jack in the Box for a taco is much different than going to Portland to a restaurant that's Peruvian called Andina's. And oh my Lord, much different. The taco that you get at Jack in the Box and the taco that you get at Andina's, much different. Oh, some chef knew how to bring out flavors in that taco that was just like, oh man, you could save, put that bite in there. Jack in the Box, it's this. Oh, 99 cents gone. Thank you, Jesus. That's all it is at Jack in the Box. I took my dad and my brother-in-law, my sister and my mom. I took them to Andina's in Portland. And as we're sitting there ready to order, the waiter comes by and goes, "What can I get you?" My dad goes, "I'll take number 58. My brother-in-law goes, "I'll take number 69. The waiter chuckled and goes, "Those aren't the numbers, those are the prices." I was so embarrassed because what followed was my dad about losing his dentures. Going, "Boom, boom, boom." It's, "I'm just happy with McDonald's." Oh, would you be quiet, you're embarrassing. But my parents sat there And they would never go there because they would go to Taco Bell, they would go to Burger King, they would go to McDonald's, and they go for splurge to Hometown Buffet. But when we sat there at that restaurant, my mom goes, I've never had such flavor. This is a great treat. Listen to this, folks. You and I are to be seasoning salt that brings out God flavors in this earth. All of us like flavor, but within our lives, we are supposed to allow the Spirit of God to move in us in such a way that the natural thing is there's an aroma, there's a fragrance, there's a smell, there's a taste to us that's different. The problem is, you and I drag ourselves here day and out, day and night, and we come to church and we sing a few songs, do a few things. We even serve in the community. We play trunk or treat. We, you know, get little kids, throw them in the trunk, and it's a treat to drop them off down the street somewhere. You know, we do all that kind of stuff. You know, we like that kind of stuff. But we never expect the miraculous. We never expect the miracle. We never expect the powerful. We never expect heaven to meet earth and transformation to take place. We expect that we're just going to live through our lives, exist, make it, and maybe God's there. And then when we get to eternity, things are going to be grand because then we'll have a perfect life. But God wants what's in heaven now for us here today. God said, greater works than I, you will do. Jesus said that. Are we doing greater works? When's the last time you saw the deaf healed? The blind see? The dead raised? The broken heart mended? People who didn't have anything, who lacked, all of a sudden their jars were full, overflowing, and God provided in ways that they never imagined. Because we just kind of exist and we forget that we're truly called to be salty, shiny, motivated. We forget that we're supposed to allow the presence of God work in and through us. We forget that He wants to work with the desires of our heart, use us where we're at, and cast us out there in a way that we're an aroma of fragrance to a lost world. He says, you're salt. And if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your youthfulness, you'll end up in the garbage. He says, you've got to be salty to this lost world. Salt makes you thirsty. I mean, why do you think bars give people beer nuts that have salt all over them? Because they sit there, and at least I hear this, okay, I would never know that. Why do they do it? Because you sit there and eat those nuts and then you get thirsty, you got to order another drink. Why do they give you bottomless fries at Red Robin? Because they would like to see you become a Teletubby? Well, that too. But here's why. If you'll keep eating those fries, you'll be ordering more drinks, and then maybe you'll order that root beer that's non... You'll spend more money. Salt causes people to be thirsty. And if we lose our saltiness to a lost world, what are we good for? I like what he says in verse 14. Here's another way to put it. You're to be light. Bring out the God colors in the world. In just a few weeks or so, I'm going to the Grand Canyon. I'm looking forward to standing on the South Rim and walking on the glass bridge and seeing all the God colors in the rocks and what God has done and made, His marvelous handiwork. I've been to Alaska, Anchorage, Alaska, and I've watched all the seals and the animals and the whales and the polar bears, and I've watched the big icebergs and all the stuff in the ocean, and it's a complete different extreme than the Grand Canyon. But those are God colors. You and I every day have an opportunity to be His ambassador, to be His vessel, to be the one He wants to use, that no matter where we go, we bring out His God colors. He said, God is not a secret to be kept. This whole series is about not being a closet Christian, not being a person who keeps your faith in the closet, but a person who lives their faith out loud. Not screaming, yelling, and obnoxious. You know what? The guy that's downtown Salem yelling, the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn or burn. You're going to hell. Little freaky. Little freaky. But you know what? God does actually call people to stand there and say that. But you know what? Many of us, God just calls us to bake a pie. He calls us to be a coach. He calls us to help clean up a neighbor's yard. He calls us to just give an encouraging word. And in all the middle of that, we are now light bearers. We're bringing God color wherever we go. He goes on and says, God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'd hide you in a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. Now that I put you on a hilltop, on a lampstand, shine. Keep an open house. Now, how do we reflect God well? How do we serve God well? Listen to this. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll promote people to open up to God, this generous Father that we serve. You know what? We as Christians are not to be crabby, itchy, witchy, mitchy, weird, crazy people. We're not called to that. I had a lady at my church one time when I was on staff over at People's Church. This lady would always meet me in the entryway, big entryway with lots of people all the time. Pastor Nathan, I just got to tell you, she'd just go down this list in the entryway, just telling me at the top of her lungs about how bad life is, how bad everything is, complain about everything, all this stuff. And she just, and I would just, my eyes would glaze over and I'd be thinking, could somebody shoot me? And I'm more of an evangelist than a pastor. And as she's sitting there one day telling me this, I'm at my breaking point. I finally just looked at her and said, could you stop? Her eyes got real big. Goes, what? Nobody wants to talk to you. Everybody avoids you. You are a whiner from the word go. You need to stop it in the name of Jesus. You do not reflect God well. And you are not happy unless you're a clod of a bunch of little ailments whining about somebody. So could you just do me a favor? Stop and trust God. She goes, I never. And I went, that's your problem. And I walked off. I saw her run over to Randy Campbell and begin to flick her finger in his face. And then she'd look over at me and point her finger at me. And then she'd flick her finger in his face. And then she was telling him how evil I was. But about 3 months later, that lady came to me and said, you know what? It really hit me that I am a complainer and I'm a whiner and that's all I do. And nobody even at work likes to be around me, and you were the one that told me that. Nobody's ever told me that, but it took 3 months to process that. Could you forgive me for all the times that I came to you and all I did was dump crap? How are we God-light if all we do is see everything half full? We're pessimistic. We're not happy with people. We're frustrated. We go through life and we don't trust God. How do we become light bearers? We can't. So how do we become salty, light, and shiny? How do we become motivated to serve God? I'm glad you all asked because it shows you're paying attention. And I will wrap up with this. Is that okay? Okay. Is everybody bored? Would you rather just go to Jack in the Box right now? Because we could, you know. I don't want to go to Jack in the Box, but we could. Let me give you this, okay? Jesus is deeply concerned about you and I, and he's concerned about how you and I, as the body of Christ, the church, relate to each other. But he's also concerned about how you and I relate to people out in the world who are not hanging out at church. People who are not in relationship with Jesus matter to him. People that are pre-Christ followers, I like to say that better than lost, because I'm even lost. Even though I'm found, I'm still lost. I suck at this thing called life. Every day I need to dive back into Jesus and say, I need your direction, I need your help, because I'm so lost. But pre-Christ followers matter to him. You and I, as virtue of saying, Christ, I need to know you, I want to know you, I give you the steering wheel of my life, because every time I take the steering wheel, I drive my life into a ditch. Now, some of you may be better than me. You may just hit the yellow line. Ooh, scoot over. Not me. I take it to the ditch. Okay? But if you're one of those people that have prayed the prayer that said, Jesus, I need to give you the steering wheel of my life, then you are now an insider in the kingdom of God. For everybody who has not said that and not tried to follow that, They are outsiders right now. So in teaching us about our relationship with outsiders, God gave us two vivid words, that you and I as insiders are to be salt and we're to be light. But in order to be salt and light, I think it starts with this. I think it starts with a simple prayer. And it is, it's a simple prayer. So in order to come out of the closet, in order to reflect God well, in order to live a life that's going to put Christ first, following the desires of a heart, it starts with, can you say the word prayer? Just say prayer. It starts with that. Let me give you an idea of my life just a little bit, okay? And lately it's become really weird. He said I was crazy. It's just, let's go further. It's just weird. I like to sleep. I love to sleep. I enjoy sleeping. I believe that God made sleep and that we should all sleep as much as we can sleep. I like naps. I don't hesitate to tell you I take naps. I like to take naps. I prefer to take naps. And I like to take a nap from the time I go to bed to the time that I wake up to never wake up and just take a nap all day long. That's what I like to do. I like sleep. I like sleep so much that when you get to that point that you sleep real hard and then you drool, I love that kind of sleep. I love sleep really bad. I love it. But here's my life now. Over the last 6 months, my life has been really weird in the aspect that my wife gets home at about 11 o'clock at night from work, theater stuff. She gets home at about 11. We spend from 11 to about 12 talking. She falls asleep. And then for some reason, as I lay there, I can't even count sheep. I just lay there. I'm not tormented. I'm not perplexed. I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. I'm not frustrated. I just can't sleep. And so because I can't sleep, I do this little app that I have called Habit, it's a meditation app. And for most of you men, that if you ever listened to the app, you would think that I was crazy. You'd think somebody should shoot me as a man. Because it tells you things like this: get comfortable in your chair. Feel the chair. Feel the chair, okay. Breathe through your nose and breathe loudly. I feel like I'm in a Lamaze class. Deep breathe. Feel the air in your nose. It drove me so crazy that I had to trim the nose hairs because I got tired of feeling them go. You know you're getting old when you have those problems. But I listened to this app just to think maybe it's going to help, and it has helped me. But what I've found is the meditations that it gives you that is from like a worldly view, I just listen to them, and all of a sudden I make it a godly view, and I meditate on the Lord. And then they have 5 minute, 10 minute, 15, 30 minute, and I'll play those. And at the end, I'm so relaxed and I feel so good that all of a sudden I turn into this time where I just pray. My wife's asleep, my entire household's asleep, and I'll wind up laying on the floor, literally on the floor, at times just weeping for people in situations. And I'll pray, and I'll just cry out to God till 2:30 in the morning. Usually, I get this release at about 2:30 in the morning that I'm done. And then I generally start my day right around 4:30 in the morning. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to sound like a superhero who's super spiritual, because the only reason why I start my day at 4:30 is all of a sudden my body lately has just gone, poof, I'm up. What am I doing? It's dark outside. It's still cold. You need a coat. You can't even go on the back porch with a cup of hot chocolate because it's still too cold out here. What am I doing up? I'm up. It's 4:30 in the morning and I can't go back to bed. And she won't let me talk and I can't roam the house, so I just need to be. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read my word. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to pray. I'm going to journal. I'm going to do some quiet time with God. I want to spend time. I want to meditate on something. And then about 5:50 in the morning, I get up and I haunt my boys. They hate me. Hi, I'm up. Oh, he's things up. I just haunt them. But when I get up and when I pray and when I start my day, I just want to give you the simple way that I start my day. Here it is. I come to God, first of all, with this. God, and most men don't use this word. God, I adore you. God, I adore you. You have so changed my life. I come to him with adoration and praise, and I just tell him how worthy he is and how much he means to me. When I go to God, I don't go to God asking for answers for my day, and I don't go to God asking him for a message, and I don't go to God asking for direction. I just go to him to say, I want to be in your presence. As I do that and I say, I want to be in your presence and I want to know you, I would rather say nothing and hear God than speak so much that I never hear him. Some of us, when we do pray, we're so busy running our mouths and telling God how it is and what we want and what we need and complaining to him that when we get done, we go, whew, and, well, where did he go? It's God and that. And then you just kind of move on and you've gone through the motions, but you've never had an effectual, fervent prayer that changed or availed much. So to be salt, to be light, to be motivated, starts with prayer, where I just meet with him. The main thing that I try to do in my prayer time is this, and this is going to sound weird, the language that I'm going to use, because I've never heard a lot of people use it. I try to be current with God. I want to be on the same page as God. I want to know his heart when I pray. I want to be current, that we're lockstep, we're one-to-one together. We know what's going on. I want to be current with him. The main thing is this, is I want my relationship with him to be fresh. I've been married over 30 years now. How my marriage has lasted 30 years is every day I've learned a couple of buzzwords. Yes, dear. I've learned those words. I've also learned these words. What is it that you desire today? I don't know about you, but I'm married up and I'm the luckiest man in the world. I adore my wife. I adore her. And I want to move heaven and earth for her, and I want to make sure whatever she wants happens. I love her so much. The key is in my relationship with God, I adore him. And I want to make whatever he wants happen, happen. Yesterday was my granddaughter's second birthday. I thought I was going to be the king. I thought I was going to get her the best gift in the world. I bought her a Mickey Mouse, a stuffed one. She's really into Mickey Mouse right now. I bought her that. My wife bought her a bunch of dresses and all this other stuff. I bought her Mickey Mouse. She watches the Mickey Mouse show. She watches Mickey and Minnie all the time and all the characters, and she's into it. She's two. I thought, I got this nailed. She opened my gift. Oh, Mickey. Put it down. My sister shows up late to the party. She gives her gift, and as she pulls it out, she goes, Pluto! Oh, Pluto! And I'm looking at my sister thinking, you're a jerk. Why did you show up here? She likes your toy better than my toy. And I said, well, what did you do? How did you know to get that? Well, I was going to buy Mickey and Minnie, but the lady at the store told me little kids like Pluto more because they can relate to the dog more than the mouse. And so they liked the dog more. So I just went ahead and bought that. And you know what? I just really wanted the best for her, and I wanted her best heart. And so I just wanted to give her the best. So I asked and got permission. I got information, and I figured, and I guess I really did pick and choose wisely. And I thought, I'm a jerk. I just gave her a rat. She got a dog over here. I gave her a rat that doesn't even wear pants, you know. And she got Pluto. And she, that little girl would walk around with Pluto. I got Pluto. Ah, ah, ah. And I'm thinking, yeah, poor Mickey's over there, you jerk. You know what? I'm a grandpa, and I just want to give my granddaughter the desires of her heart. I want to bless her. Her aunt, Gina, wants to do. How much more does her mom and dad want to do for her? I see my son and my granddaughter, my other granddaughter back here, and the whole time it's like, could I just hold her while I'm speaking? Could I just have her right now? Because I just want the best for them. You know what? When you fall in love with God, you get in close proximity, you build that relationship with Him, all of a sudden your desires are going to become His desires, and all you're going to want is whatever He wants. And you're going to be able to say easily, God, I adore you. I need you. I need you. Spending time with God is about feeling, it's about sensing, it's about knowing His pleasure, it's about knowing and being aware of His heart and everything that He wants. Daily, I tell people this, life's this great experiment, and if life is this great experiment, and it truly is, that means there's going to be days that I'm going to succeed, and that means there are going to be days that I fail, and there are days I fail. But with that comes the privilege of learning what works and what doesn't work. I know this, Pluto works better than Mickey. You got grandkids need to buy a gift and they're two? Get Pluto. I know through time and through relationship what works, what doesn't. So here's some things that happen when I pray, and they're happening when you pray. When I pray, I've had breakthroughs that were only once dreams. I've had these dreams that are pretty outlandish. God, you know, I'd like to see that, or God, you know, I'd like to, or I'd love to see you heal my son, or I'd like to see you do this, or I'd like, and I've had these dreams that in some ways could never happen. And then when I pray, all of a sudden, boom, I find they happen. But if you're not praying, how's the miraculous going to happen? When I pray, I also have levels of impact that I never even dreamed of. My wife would never have dreamed that she gets to lead worship in front of 90,000 people. My wife would never dreamed that she would wind up being a professional actress that gets paid good money for doing the gigs she does. She would have never thought that, and in turn gets to share the gospel. I would have not told you where I sit financially today, that I would be sitting here today, and how God has blessed not only me, but my son and people around us, how God has blessed them. God has done the miraculous. I have had extreme favor where God has moved in ways that I could never ask, seek, think, or imagine. And you know what? I've had great opposition too. I'm in a process of becoming more like Him, and prayer is the key. Being current in relationship with Him, talking with Him, listening to Him, and being with Him is imperative. As I do that, I'm able to reflect Him well daily. And as a result of reflecting Him well, I become salty, shiny, and motivated in ways that you never know. I'm motivated today to illuminate, to bring flavor, to be a fragrance of His great work and grace to a lost world that inspires hope, stirs up great faith, releases an impartation of transformation. Are you? Let me say that again. I want to be a flavor. I want to be a fragrance to a lost world. I want to inspire, as I go through my life, inspire hope. I want to stir up faith in people. And I want to be able to see people move in the power and the giftings of a living God. I want God to heal people. I want Him to transform their situation completely. But the only way that starts is for me to be in His presence. And as I'm in His presence, then He begins to move through you. And fullness of joy begins to take place. And the aroma of Jesus begins to get on you and gets on other people. And then all of a sudden they begin to ask. Today I come to you with the hope of seeing the full impact of the gospel, the kingdom on earth in our lifetime. Listen, Jesus said, greater works than these I will do. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He took care of the blind. He healed the leper. People that had nothing had all of a sudden something because they came in contact with him. The lady at the well that was always passed by met him in an entire city emptied and came to know Christ because he took time for somebody that was marginalized in life and normally passed by. I want God to use me. Everything begins with being current with happen, and prayer is what makes it happen. Jesus said, I would that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. So, in order to be a person who comes out of the closet, follows God, and lives out the God life, becomes salty and light, it's got to start with prayer. The dream is this. Here's the dream. That heaven would come to earth. No, I'm not saying that we're all going to get so perfect that all of a sudden, poof, heaven's right here. No, what I'm saying is God said that everything that's available in heaven is available here on earth if I will grab hold of it. And I want everything that God has to offer to flow in and through me. I want whatever is God's greatest delight to happen in and through me. But the key is, we have to pray. Does it sound impractical and impossible that heaven would meet earth? It does to us, but it isn't to him. It's his heart that we join him in an endeavor of laboring with him, with wisdom and power through prayer, through fellowship and simple obedience that would change lives. And as we do that, we become salty and shiny. Our assignment, our mandate as Christ followers, the focus is a relational journey with Christ that influences a lost world. What is it about being a Christian? It's a relational journey that you and I have with the creative universe that in turn transforms a world. It's in his heart, it's in his ability to change a lost world. And it's our privilege to join him. So this becomes most evident with this. Matthew 6:10 says this, your kingdom come, your will be done. As you spend time with God, all of a sudden your heart cry is going to be this, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. As you spend time with God, you're going to go to a point and say this, God, the Father sent you, send me. John 20:21. It says this, as the Father sent me, I send you. God is sending you and I to be salt and light. The Bible says in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's that tasting again. Get to know him. As you get to know how good he is, it will transform to other people's lives. Let me give you this. You and I are called to be ambassadors to represent him. We're called to be a witness to reflect him. And we're called messengers to retell the story of Christ. We're to give the message of hope, the message of transformation. We are to eradicate disease, torment, and sin. That's our goal. When was the last time you were a part of eradicating disease, death, torment, and sin? God truly wants to use you. It all rests with us. Again, he says, be salt and light. Why are we called to be salt? I will wrap it up, and this is why. Salt plays a crucial role in the human health. So without salt in our system, we die. Literally, we die. Without salt in the human being, in the human role here, without us being salt, the world will die. Salt not only plays a role in the human life, but it also plays a role in as being a preservative. Before they had refrigeration and freezer and flash freezing, all of a sudden you dump salt all over the meat and it would be preserved for a long time. You and I are a preservative in this world. The reason why this world still turns, moves, and operates the way it is, because there's believers in it that are holding on and calling on God and moving. We're preservative. And then salt is also used for this, to spice things up. I mean, ask yourself, how many of you like bland food? The other day, I was with Jordan and our team and some of our guys, and I said to him, I said, man, the rice is really good, but it sure lacks a lot of salt. I need to add some more salt to this. And I kept saying to him, I need to add more salt to this. This just lacks. Why isn't the world being reached right now? I'll be honest with you. The church lacks flavor. We're not salty. We're to be salty. The more time you spend with God, the more salty you will be, and all of a sudden people will desire what you have. You and I are the spice of life. I like the cooking guy, Emerald. He, bam, takes it up a few notches. I think it's time for Christians to take up their walk a few notches. So we're to be salty. We're to be shiny. What is shiny? What does a light do? It reflects light. Ask yourself, have you ever woke up in a dark, dark room? I mean, just pitch dark room where it's just dark. I mean dark room, dark, dark room. You wake up. Now try to be the camp speaker, and you're speaking to 600 kids, and you're on a lake, and you're in a cabin, and it is pitch dark out. I mean, it was storming. I mean, storming so bad that you don't even see the moon. There's no star, no nothing. It's pitch black. You wake up in this cabin. It's got all these things that don't have windows. They got a screen on them. And there is no light switch in the cabin. Not a one light switch. It's a stupid string in the middle of the room. Stupid string. And you wake up, and you have got to use the facilities. You have got to, yeah, you, but you're not familiar with your surroundings. You're not, no, because you've just been there first night, and it's dark. You woke up, and like, you can't see nothing at all, nothing at all. And then you're thinking, I got to get up, and I got to find the light, because I don't even know where the door is at this point in time. I don't even know. And then I got toes, and I've stubbed them, and I don't want to stub a toe. So finally, you're moving gingerly because you're trying to figure out, where's the stupid string that I don't stub a toe that I could get out to go do what my business? And then finally, when you find the string, and you'll go, oh, the light invades the darkness, and now it makes things more That's what you and I are called to be. We live in a dark world, and we are called to be the light that invades the darkness that makes life more comfortable. So there's a blanket of darkness. Light. It brings darkness, something that's unmistakable. It's unmistakable what light does to darkness. It changes it. Light. It illuminates dark places. It helps people see where to go. It takes away fear. It allows them to move ahead with confidence. And we sung a song about confidence. It pushes back darkness. We're called to be shiny light. We're to be current with God, in relationship with God, the radiance and the glory of God in us, a transforming power that will naturally reflect God around the lost world. We are called, each one of us are called to be light bearers. We are called to make sure that nothing keeps us from doing what God called us. So we're called to be salt, we're called to be light, and we're called to be motivated. Motivated why? Because in Christ, he's got the absolute answer. The God that we serve is not a dead God, he's an alive God. And the cool thing about him, he knows the number of hairs on your head and the number of hairs that are not on some of your head. And he already knew a long time ago, some of you are really follically challenged. He knows your thoughts from when you rise up and when you sit down. He knows everything about you. He formed you in your mother's womb, and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life that is amazing. So because that's the God I serve, I'm motivated to let other people know about that God. Because we have transformation power, the God that we serve can transform anything. I was in Prairie City, Oregon, a little city that's a blink if you miss it city. I mean, literally, blink if you miss it city. You come down the hill, I mean, you're flying. You got your car going really fast, and you don't realize there's a cop down at the bottom, and he pops you with a $200 ticket because you're going too fast, because you were going down. It was cool going down that hill. I mean, it's just, your face is going, it's cool, and it was kind of worth the $200 ticket. So I decided while I was there to pay the $200 ticket there and go see a judge, because in little cities you can do that. And while I did that, there's this little lady about 84 years old that I ran into with a walker. And I looked at her, and I said, hey, how you doing today? She goes, oh, I'm not doing real good. I'm kind of losing my balance. I'm not really real good. I kind of fall, and I'm thinking, well, you got enough bruises on you. You probably do fall. What are you out here with a walker for anyway? You don't even have a catcher. But she's out doing her thing. And I looked at her and said, can I pray for you? She goes, you'd pray for me? And I said, I'd love to pray for you. And I said, Jesus, would you heal her body? Would you quicken her mortal body? The cool thing about the God we serve, he doesn't put an age disclaimer on it. It says, once you hit 50, it's all downhill. It's natural. Your body's going to pot. You're going to become fat. You're going to have pot belly. You're going to be droopy, roopy, and all that kind of stuff. You're going to have bursitis, arthritis, bursitis, all the stuff. You're going to have every itis. You're gone. Don't even worry about it. If you get dizzy, that's just your luck because you're over 50 now. God's word doesn't say that. But God's word does say this, and if you're listening to this and you're watching this right now, God's word says he can quicken our mortal body. So I looked at that little old lady in her 84 years old, and I with her walker, and I said, could I pray for you? And I just said, God, would you quicken her body? Would you touch her? Would you order her footsteps so that she would rise up? She would run and not be weary to walk and not faint, that God, you'd move in her life, that you'd order her footsteps in Jesus' name. She looked at me and goes, wow. Poof, on the ground. And I'm going, I killed her. I just killed that old woman. And I'm looking at her, and she's smiling dead. And I'm thinking, she's a happy dead woman. And I'm going, I've seen stuff like this before in the Pentecostal churches that I work in. I think she was so overwhelmed by God, she just kind of fell out on the ground. That's kind of cool when you fall out on the ground and God's there. And you know it's God because she didn't have a catcher. She was like, poof, gone. I kind of thought, what do I do now? We're just here. And I'll wait. And she just smiled, purred like a little kitty. And I thought, well, no calling an ambulance here. This is like only two blocks. Hopefully she's okay, Jesus. Quicken her body. Don't let her die because I don't want to go to jail for that. I just paid a $200 ticket. Jesus, help that woman. 30 minutes later, that lady got up off the ground and she started to jig like a little black woman. Woo! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! She's got a purse swinging. She's excited. The walker's no longer. And I'm thinking, you got a walker. You got a walker. You used to walk. She goes, Lord, just touched me. And I'm thinking, praise God. That lady turned around and literally, I'm not making it up, she literally did. She turned around and skipped all the way home, left her walker right there. God wants to quicken people's bodies. God wants to transform people's lives wherever we go. God wants to do miracles. Are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to join God where he's working? Are we going to be current to know his heart, to know what to say and know what to do, and let it be the natural outflow of us? What are we doing? I'm motivated because God has transformational power. Where the world has no hope, he has hope. So I'm motivated for that. Let me end with this. He paved the way to an abundant life. And so here we are. Tracy and I, we were in San Diego. We were sitting at Jolly Roger Restaurant in Seaport Village. That particular day, Tracy and I didn't like each other very much. That happens to married couples sometimes. Sometimes you just don't like each other. You're just frustrated with each other. And that was one of those days that we were frustrated with each other. We went in to sit down to eat, and as we were sitting down to eat, she's frustrated at me, I'm frustrated at her. There's no like, praise God from whom all blessings flow. There's none of that. What it is right there is there's a deep divide. I would swear if God would have come back at that moment, she might have gone to hell. Not really. She was just being evil and wrong. But either way, both of us were being evil and wrong, and things weren't going real well in our relationship. Not that we're going to, couples, you just don't always see eye to eye. So we're sitting there in this restaurant, just get seated. As we get seated, this lady comes screaming at us. Now, listen, when you're in a nice restaurant and somebody's screaming, first of all, that's weird. You shouldn't do that. Second of all, when they come running at you, screaming at you, then you really wonder, should I pull out my gun? Oh, I don't have one. Then you wonder, where could I run? But I'm in a booth, and they're coming at me. And then this lady gets closer, she's screaming, I want what you have! I want what you have! And I'm thinking, I'm not ordered yet. And she's screaming that. I want what you have. She's just screaming. And then she sits down by my wife. Thank God it was her, not me. But she sits by my wife, so I got this loud, crazy, lunatic woman yelling in a foodie restaurant at us, yelling, I want what you have, and then sits by us, who we've never met before. We're in San Diego. We live in Kaiser, Oregon. We don't know this crazy woman. She's sitting there. My wife's like a little panic, like, you want what I have? Like, you want my bag? What is it you want? And my wife goes, what is it I could do for you? In the next few moments, we find out that this lady's a Wiccan. She's into witchcraft, into the occult. And when we walked in, she said there was such a presence of God that something hit her. There was such a presence. She didn't say God. There was such a presence that hit her that all the voices inside of her began to scream and yell. But one voice said, you need what they have. You need what they have. You need what they have. And all she could do was run to us and say, I need what you have. In the middle of us not having a great day, and in the middle of us not being happy with each other, in the middle of all of that, God still moved. When we got done, she had led that lady to Jesus. She had prayed demons off of that woman, and we had seen God transform her life. God has called you and I to be salt and light. God has called us to be shiny. God has called us to make people thirsty. And that just our presence in close proximity to them would change them. That happened for the disciples. They were so full of Jesus that people would bring the sick out, lay them on the sidewalk, hoping their shadow would fall on them. The God we serve is not a theory type God where we just in theory know these concepts, but he's a practical God who wants to work in and through each one of us. So my challenge is to you today, would you allow yourself to be in close proximity with God, to know his heart? As a result of knowing his heart, you become salty, you become shiny. All of a sudden your motivation is to see what Jesus' heart is done, and all of a sudden, you see the miraculous done around you, and what's in heaven now gets on earth, and it changes people where you're at. Why? Because he works through your desires, and he wants to work with where you're at, and he wants to use you where you're at and what you have. God used a young shepherd to become a king, and it's changed our lives. God used a young shepherd to kill a bear and a lion. Used him where he was at so that later he could kill a giant. And so later he could be a king that God would sit on his throne. And then we would hear that David was a man after God's own heart. God doesn't want to come in and make you a superstar overnight and invade your life and totally transform and change everything. What God just wants to do is use you where you're at in ways you never expected, and he wants to surprise you. But that happens with us getting out of the closet and saying, God, here I am. I want to meet with you. I want to pray. I want to know you. I want to be current with you. And then the natural byproduct is people's lives are changed wherever we go. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word that it never returns.